Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, what's your relationship with junk food?
Well, you know, as a tender teen, I would love to get myself into some Cheetos and Dr. Pepper. I felt like this was the taste sensation. I don't know that I had an addiction to it, but that was my go-to poison.
Yeah, I feel like for a lot of us, our childhood was a wasteland of bad food. And you know, and my dad was a dentist, so, you know, I feel like we didn't have as much of the whole eat everything you want candy bowl kind of environment that a lot of households had. But still, I remember drinking a lot of colas. I remember eating a lot of Magic Middles, the Keebler cookies that had a chocolatey center and a shortbread outside that they eventually quit making, and it was a very tearful event. I remember eating tons of Twizzlers, and even to this day, I've been able to shut out a lot of junk food from my life.
Yeah,
at least overt junk food, and still, if someone offers me Twizzlers, I end up falling into the trap of accepting them.
You know what mine is?
What is it?
Chipwich.
Chipwich. What is that?
It's the chocolate chip cookies with the ice cream middle.
Chipwich, a chocolate chip cookie. Oh, like an ice cream sandwich. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which turns out, as we're going to discuss, has all the elements of like an addictive food because you have the texture, you have, you know, the different ingredients contrasting and the creaminess. And so I'm kind of powerless if you put a Chipwich in front of me.
Well, luckily it has that frozen aspect to it. So it's not the kind of thing you would necessarily find on a table at work, like left there by someone who was just trying to remove the curse from their own life. Something frozen has to be hidden away in a freezer or offered directly from a chilling environment.
You're right. If I could just turn away from it for like 20 minutes, then I could just destroy its powers. But we are going to talk about this, these powers, the hold that junk food has over us, and the fact that it's not accidental. There's a lot of money in research and development into making the perfect junk food to trip the sort of hardwired desires that we have for it.
Yeah, it's kind of chilling because it's easy to just think, well, chocolate chip cookies are delicious. You know, my mom makes them, my grandma makes them, whatever. There's something kind of natural and wholesome about that. And even if it is super normal stimuli in its own right, it doesn't seem that nefarious.
No.
But when you start looking at the way that these companies create these items, and the way they tweak their game plan and really game the food item, in their favor economically, then it kind of gives you the willies.
Yeah, because you're like, all of a sudden you realize that Chipwich has been engineered in a lab somewhere.
Yeah.
With some really expensive equipment, and we'll get to that. But first, let's talk about this influence of food on our behavior. Because it's not just like, hey, we desire this and therefore we take the actions to secure it and eat it. It's something a little bit more. And a good example of this is the power of freshly baked bread.
Yeah, this is really, really interesting. And it involves bread, which is an artificial food, you know, for the most part. It's not something you're going to pick out of a tree. It's a product of human ingenuity. And yet it seems wholesome enough, right? I mean, I even find myself at the store sometimes picking up bread and forgetting that it could contain high fructose corn syrup until I actually bring the bread home. And I'm like, oh, well, crap, it's wheat bread, but it has high fructose corn syrup in it. But there is something safe feeling about the bread. And it's been a part of safe rituals for a long time. I mean, to take of bread and salt in Eastern cultures, bread and salt were eaten with an oath that was taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the idea of the breaking of bread being a way to ease grievances. You have the ritual of the Eucharist in the Catholic tradition, and basically throughout Christianity, the idea that you're gonna eat this bread and it's the flesh of Christ and all that. I mean, that's bread breaking at its most ritualistic.
Yeah, I mean, that's some deeply ingrained tropes right there.
Ingrained.
Yeah. Right, there you go. And we even see it show up in the hard scrabble world of Game of Thrones.
That's right. In George R. R. Martin's universe there of Westeros and beyond, you see that ritual of breaking bread, of having bread and salt when, say, two warring families meet. In fact, I specifically remember, no spoilers, but I specifically remember a scene where two very antagonistic groups are meeting, and one of the characters is very insistent, let's get the bread out, let's get the salt out, let's go ahead and break that bread, because that alone may be what could prevent us all from dying here.
So, taking that information and knowing that it might, you know, flavor the way that we behave, this study about altruism in bread is really interesting, because it turns out that the aroma is so influential that researchers at the University of Southern Brittany in France found that its mere presence amped up altruism in strangers passing by a bread shop. We're talking about 77% of people who passed a bakery with a robust smell of bread emanating from it. Those people stopped to help a person pick up their glove or handkerchief or tissue, in contrast with people passing by a clothes store, of which only 52% of those who stopped to help that Confederate, that person in the study, retrieve their snotty rag.
It's amazing. It's as if it ties into this primordial food sharing sort of vibe that we have. You know, something just buried deep in the hindbrain where there's a smell of bread in the air, there's
mm-hmm.
a smell of food, a smell of sustenance. Therefore, maybe I should start being nice to everyone, or at least a little less awful, on the chance that I could have some of that bread. Because ultimately, that's part of my whole genetic programming, is I need to eat, I need to breed, I need to keep going.
So you're saying that altruism could be connected to the pleasure circuit, which we'll talk about in a second.
What I wonder is, does that actually affect crime statistics? Like if someone is looking to rob a fast food restaurant, do they go into Subway and suddenly feel a little like, I don't know, these guys look like decent folks. I don't want to, do a stick-up job here. I'm going to go down the street to the burger place.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they grab a sub and they go down to Burger King.
Yeah.
Or Burger King.
I would be interested in seeing the results of such a study.
All right. Wanted to point out that neuroscientist David Linden said in an interview with Terry Gross of Fresh Air that the average weight of an American between 1960 and now has gone up by an astonishing 26 pounds. And he says that's not because Americans' genomes have changed significantly. It's because we have these 32-ounce sodas and fast food and food corporations realizing that certain combinations of flavors and textures produce craving. So again, it's sort of like take the bread example that elicits this idea that we're going to have this reward, that there's a certain pleasure in that smell. There's a certain sustenance. So I also wanted to point out that there is a 2013 survey by market research firm Technomic. They looked at 22,459 adults, and they found that 83% of people who eat outside of the home are prompted by cravings. And 75% who visit restaurants more than once a week do so for a specific dish that they crave. And can you guess the restaurants that people hit up the most?
It was interesting to look at the findings here, because they're not necessarily the places that I would crave, but the number one on this list, on the chart rather, the highest ranking one, Krispy Kreme donuts. And while I like to believe I'm immune to the temptation of Krispy Kreme donuts today, I do know that there is an upscale donut place just down the street from where I live, and I do feel a little bit of the temptation to drop by there, in part because I know that it would be delicious, but also there's just sort of the you're like a hero if you bring donuts somewhere. Nice donuts somewhere. I mean, not for my son. I wouldn't let him have one of these things, but you know, just to bring one home to some to family or to friends and say, look, I am the bringer of donuts. And therefore, I'm an okay guy.
I've noticed that in office culture, right? A Monday morning or a Friday morning, if you bring in a bunch of donuts, it's kind of like this grand gesture, and everybody's like, ooh, ha, ha, ha.
Wow.
Donuts, like, you know, like it's the Victorian age and someone brought in oranges. but yeah, that there's a certain kind of power there, so it makes sense that Krispy Kreme is occupying the top slot.
Because they have everything. Not just Krispy Kreme, but donuts in general. You've got the sweet, you've got the fatty, the bready, even some of the meat flavoring now. I mean, you can get one of the donuts that's really popular at the place I was talking about has a caramel, sea salt caramel,
yes,
topped with not bacon bits per se, but bits of bacon. And so, yeah, you're getting the salty, you're getting the sweet, you're getting the bready, the fatty, the meaty, all in one super stimuli lump of food.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm immune to the donuts. And I live
around... Oh, you're lucky.
Then. I'm immune to the charms of the donut.
Okay.
And I live, by the way, around the corner from that place that you're talking about. And that's because, as an angsty teen, one of my first jobs was at Dunkin' Donuts, working the 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift on the weekends.
With the conveyor belt?
No. Okay. In the store, like, I didn't make the donuts.
Oh, okay.
One of the best jobs I had, but I smelled like donuts, and it was disgusting. And so
you're getting pulled over all the time.
Yeah, people were just started sniffing me and licking my hair. So anyway, for me, donuts don't hold that power. But I did think about something on this list. After Cold Stone Creamery, you have Red Lobster as the first kind of like restaurant. And
okay.
I'm not a big Red Lobster fan, but I have had those Cheddar Bay biscuits, and
yes,
I understand this. This might be my crave item if I were to go out and seek something from a restaurant each week.
I agree, because I'm the same way. You mentioned Red Lobster to me, and I'm instantly going to think seafood drowned in butter. I don't really want any. But then I'm going to remember that those biscuit things, those cheddar biscuits were so good.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can get Astepro and go today. AsteproAllergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, why is this gaming us in such a way? Well, it all has to do with the medial or brain pleasure circuit. And this is the region of the brain which is dependent upon the neurotransmitter, dopamine. And this is really essential to our evolutionary survival, if you look at it this way. So it's a very ancient region of our brain, and it exists originally because we want eating food and drinking water and having sex to be pleasurable in order to repeat this, to have children, to propagate our genes, survive, and pass on this to the next generation. It means that our ancestors could quickly identify which foods had the dense caloric value that their bodies needed to support what are really like huge daily energy expenditures. So, as we saw in our episode about addiction, the problem about hitting this kind of supernormal stimuli, as you say, over and over again, is that those dopamine receptors, those D2 receptors, they start to decrease. And they need more and more in order to get that same effect of dopamine in your brain.
So it's the same sort of situation you see with someone who is addicted to various drugs, to various illicit substances. They need more to get the fix. Because the circuits are breaking down kind of under the load of this colossal stimuli.
Yeah, when we looked at that World Science Festival panel on addiction, they showed those three brains, right? I think it was a meth addict, it was an obese person, and then a heroin addict. And they all had a lack of D2 receptors. And so the interesting thing about this is that something like 90% of cases of severe obesity are food addiction, with only 10% having to do with a metabolic defect. So, yeah, and you can see this power of these foods and us kind of going to them over and over again, creating those pathways of addiction. So, again, what's going to make the brain sing the most with dopamine? That supernormal stimuli. And that's where I'm like, that's why something like the Cheesecake Factory exists. Because I'm like, what is a good example of this? Cheesecake.
Yeah.
What's an even better example? A restaurant that fetishizes it. And according to their website, they have something like 37 different types of cheesecakes available.
Wow.
And just to add, I think, a little bit of injury to insult, they offer something called the Skinnylicious menu, which I'm going to assume is a way for people to eat like maybe dinner with less calories and then rationalize that giant cheesecake.
Or I was wondering, is it going to be a smaller piece of cheesecake or what? And do they have all types of cheesecake? Do they have like savory cheesecakes? Because I had an alligator cheesecake once in New Orleans. It was quite good.
Tell me, what do you mean you had an alligator cheesecake?
It's like a cheesecake with alligator in it. It's everything that is a cheesecake except savory and meaty via the meat of an alligator.
How was it?
It was good. It was really good and exceedingly rich, and it made you feel like a bad person after you ate it.
That is such like an Americana thing right there. Yeah. Alligator cheesecake.
Exactly. Yeah.
A shrinking bit of Americana.
If you're an adventurous eater, look it up. There are a few different places to get it down there.
All right, so it would make sense that we have this reaction to food, and it would also make sense that when it comes to engineering junk food, that scientists leave nothing to chance. And we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the techniques and the technology. Hello there. Won't you join me on the information elevator? This week, Ben Bullen of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, Car Stuff and Brain Stuff, will join me on the elevator, and we'll look at whether or not he is a liar, liar, pants on fire. You can find the information elevator on Mind Stuff Show on YouTube.
Hey, we're back. I was thinking, I mentioned earlier the whole breaking of the bread. We talked about how the scent of the bread, the aroma of the bread, is pleasing and therefore inspires altruism. And we mentioned Game of Thrones and the idea that you have two rival houses coming together, and that smell of bread and the ritual of the bread may be all that keeps them from tearing each other apart.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred to me after you mentioned donuts in the office, another situation where you see this kind of peace offering made,
mm-hmm.
and that's when there's bad news in the office or some sort of major transition or some major pain in the butt, giant meetings, HR stuff, or in our case, when our company recently changed corporate masters from one dark overlord to another,
mm-hmm.
and not to imply that they're dark or
we get
evil,
your meaning,
but
yeah.
You know, they're overlords, and so what happens when the transition is announced? Instantly, there is some sort of baked good in the office, right? Baked goods,
gosh, you're
and
right.
Some fruit and some coffee and some orange juice, but especially the smell of bread. Get that bread smell in there so that nobody kills anybody.
Well, and everybody feels like it's okay.
Yeah, okay. It's okay because there's bread.
You know, I wonder if law firms should begin to use this tactic when mediating cases, right? If they're trying not to go to court with a case, maybe everybody shows up at the table and they break bread. Would this actually, in fact, dial down the animosity between the parties?
What if when a police officer makes an arrest,
mm-hmm.
Before they duck their head into the patrol car, they mm-hmm. stick a Kaiser roll in their mouth? You know?
I feel like there might be a lawsuit actually arising from that.
Well, it would need to be gluten-free and it would need to be vegan.
Right.
But some sort of baked good.
I mean, we are a litigious society. yeah. you know, in the United States. So,
or a police baton that's actually a French bread. You can really go nuts with this.
I love that. I love the image now. And now I'm thinking about bobbies in the UK, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So how do these food scientists get to that extra itchy place in our brains? According to the New York Times Magazine article, The Extraordinary Science of Junk Food, Frito-Lay had a formidable research complex near Dallas where nearly 500 chemists, psychologists, and technicians conducted research that cost up to $30 million a year. And the Science Corps focused intense amount of resources on questions of crunch, mouthfeel, and aroma for each of these items. And one of the items that they used is a $40,000 device that stimulates chewing to test and perfect chips, which we'll talk about later. Chips is like sort of like the gold standard of junk food, which gets us to this whole chewing thing.
Yeah, the idea of how much chewing is optimal, right?
Yeah.
Because apparently the whole situation is you want some chewing because you need to chew your food. Chewing the food is part of the enjoyment of it when we taste it. And this is interesting. If you ever like really stop and think about a food that's pleasing you and try to dissect why it's pleasing you, mm-hmm. it's almost an unanswerable question. Have you ever done that? There's some sort of dish you're looking forward to. It's in your mouth, and then you're trying to break it down. Why am I enjoying this? Am I enjoying it? Do I enjoy? Why am I going to swallow it? Like, because once I swallow it, I can't taste it.
Yeah, and it's funny because we don't think about it in slow-mo, but if you did, you would realize that saliva is actually releasing some of the aromas of the food. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself is making it a more pleasurable experience. But most of us kind of just rush through it. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is that the faster you rush through chewing, the less your stomach has a chance to kind of catch up with feeling sated. And send signals to the brain that says stop, right?
Right.
But this is one of the key tactics in food engineering or junk food engineering is if you can reduce the amount of chewing, you can stuff more stuff into your gaping maw,
mm-hmm.
and you can feed the addiction more, and you can get to the bottom of that chip bag faster. And,
right.
And companies kind of want you to do that, right? Because then you're just going to buy more and more of the thing.
Yeah, I mean, they have to put that suggested serving on the side, but really, they don't want you to stop. They want you to plow through bag after bag, and if it takes forever to chew each kernel, each chip, each family's fun-sized piece, then it's going to take forever, and that's going to cut into how much fast food they can sell you and how much fast food they can put in that mouth.
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Linden, who wrote The Compass of Pleasure, in an interview, again, with Terry Gross, a separate one, said that much of the meat in chain restaurants has been mechanically tenderized and injected with marinade to dissolve in your mouth, and it's lubricated for swallowing by high water content. And so he says, in essence, the factory has done half of your chewing and swallowing for you so that you can eat more. And he says that's one of the things that chain restaurants have figured out. Now, Gail Vance Seville, who's the founder and president of Sensory Spectrum, this is a consumer research firm, says that in the 45 years that she's been in the food business, they used to have foods that they chewed 15 times and 20 times and 30 times before they were swallowed. But now, she says there's rarely a food out there outside of, say, like a sweet, chewy candy, yet you have to chew more than 12 times before it's gone. And so the idea is that you're getting these quick hits and you're on to that next pleasure or seeking that pleasure. And I thought that was kind of fascinating because probably a good example of this is Chicken McNuggets, if you've ever looked at that process, is, you know, the meat is basically turned into a paste.
Yeah.
And then it's just molded and cooked. And that is it's made like that because you can consume it faster.
Yeah, and you can make more from the chicken. It's just it's like a lot of our meat products out there. It's what's left and what can we do with that can then be sold as a food product.
Yeah, and then when it's kind of patted down like that, you have more surface area to put all of the fatty breadcrumbs on it to even amp up that product more so that your brain's like, ooh, nice, deep fried, yep. I'll take more.
And then some sort of gelatinous, sugary substance that you can dip it into, and then in you go.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Yeah, now, cola companies are looking at something called sensory-specific satiety. And this is the tendency for big, distinct flavors to overwhelm the brain, which makes the brain kind of say, whoa, that's enough. And it depresses the desire to have more. So they have to keep this in mind when coming up with just the right blend of sweetness and flavors. And they're trying to reach something called the bliss point. Like, this is an actual industry term. And that's a term that came up in research and development for Dr. Pepper's vanilla soda. It's that point where the product is firing on all cylinders on your brain, but it's not overwhelming you.
Right. Yeah. And similarly, in economics, it's seen as that the point of consumption where any further increase would make the consumer less satisfied. So in a sense, whether you're talking about flavor or quantity, it's that point where it's good, but before you hate yourself. Like if you're ever eating something and this is great, if it was a little more sweet, I would hate myself. Then you are at the bliss point.
Yes, you're right. It's like before you go into the shame spiral.
Right.
It's just a couple inches before that. And the funny thing is that the companies can back off just a speck from that sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And just a speck from that sugar means that they can, you know, if you're, especially if you're manufacturing billions of ounces of this stuff, you're actually going to have cost savings.
Oh, wow.
So they're doing it for both the satiation point, but also so that they can save a couple of pennies, you know, per ounce.
Well, that's interesting. The one area where a junk food company would want to cut down on the sugar just for pure cost reasons.
Yeah, but the funny things is that it's so minuscule that it really doesn't affect, like, the actual health or nutrition of that drink.
Yeah, because so ultimately there's so much sugar in most of these products that even backing out, up a little bit is really doing nothing to the overall potency of the thing. Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I was eating a lot of these, you know, snack bars until recently. And even those, you know, you look at them, you start breaking down the contents of those things. Even the ones that are more greenwashed and healthy sounding are actually like, it's like eating a candy bar.
It is. And even something like Yoplait yogurt is chock full of sugar. And in fact, their serving has more sugar in it than Lucky Charms cereal. And this used to be just like a humble yogurt that people would have for breakfast. And they transformed the whole yogurt industry by adding sugar into it and making it much more of an addictive go-to thing for people.
Yeah. The yogurt just becomes a vehicle for the sugar you're having for breakfast or your snack.
Yeah. And the yogurt has that creaminess element to it. Mm-hmm. In some cases, the fat in it that really makes it even more desirable. That's because it creates this kind of mouthfeel. I'm sure you've heard that in foodie terms before. The mouthfeel is creamy. And the funny thing about this is that creaminess and that fat contributes to a smooth and even bolus of masticated food in your mouth. And that is pleasing.
Right, because it's the idea that the food has taken the form that it needs to carry on through my digestive system and so that I can absorb its nutrients. And therefore, it's almost like it's pre-chewed and therefore pleasurable.
Yeah, and it's lubricated. It's ready for action in your digestive system.
The mother company has spat it directly into my mouth, and now it's ready to swallow.
Which, by the way, is something that people have done through the ages, is to pre-masticate food for infants. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But maybe it is. Maybe there's a sort of hardwired feeling of that with this pre-masticated food, really. Now there's something called the Maillard reaction that the industry uses. And this is, I did not know about this. This is cooking carbohydrate-rich foods at temperatures high enough to produce that yellow or brown surface, that kind of roasted quality.
It kind of toastedness, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of horrified me about this when I first started reading about it. I was like, oh, great. Now I can't even eat toast. The science of nutrition and carcinogenics has ruined toast for me. So what is left if I can't even toast some bread? It's not quite as simple as that. And really what we're, the real villains in this situation are going to be your deeply fried foods. Not as much some lightly browned toast.
Yeah, because what it does is it produces something called acrylamide. And this is a known cancer-causing agent when it's consumed at higher levels. And it is potentially a dangerous chemical. And you could argue that there's probably not enough of it on, say, your Cheetos to warrant any danger. But has anyone ever taken, like, a 10-year survey of people who eat Cheetos, you know, two packs a day to see what that effect might be in their bodies? I don't think so.
Yeah, after I read over the material, I feel like the take-home is not avoid toast, but rather here's another reason to think twice about going too often to the fried food trough, you know?
Yeah.
Just one more reason on the list of reasons to maybe keep French fries or fried onion rings a special treat as opposed to a daily indulgence.
Well, and it's even baked, too, like Cheetos.
Yeah.
Which this was kind of horrific to me. For some reason, I don't know why. It makes sense to me. You know how they kind of melt on your tongue?
Well, see, now, which ones are Cheetos? Are those the ones that have a lot of air in them, or the ones that are that look kind of like... There's one that kind of looks like orange marsupial droppings.
It's
kind of,
I know what you mean. It's like a pool noodle that's toasty looking.
Yeah.
The Cheetos has more. It has more structure.
Okay, I'm confusing them with cheese puffs. Yeah, because
cheese puffs
are the ones that are mostly air, and then the other ones look like something. That's
but you're right.
Used.
Cheese puffs have what is called a higher vanishing caloric density than Cheetos. Because Cheetos, you have to break down a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Although they still kind of melt. And this is something that food scientists try to achieve in a product. Since the melting quality of the food fools your brain into thinking that there's no calories in it.
Huh.
And that you can just keep eating it forever. So it's gaming your brain to think like, oh, yeah, I could eat the whole pack. You're not going to, you know, fill up from this.
So is this the same appeal of ice cream then? In addition to ice cream sugariness and fattiness and mouthfeel and everything else?
I think so. So I would wager to bet that the fat is probably detected more by the body, and so you can't eat as much of it. But if you're looking at something like a cheese puff in particular, which is full of air and it melts really quickly, then your brain is going to be like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, it's 10 minutes later and I'm at the bottom of this package and I'm looking for like little bits and pieces of it.
All right. But now we've talked about Cheetos, we've talked about cheese puffs, but let's return to the granddaddy of all junk food items, the potato chip.
Which I can go weak in the knees for if it's the salt and vinegar kind.
Yeah, there are some really nice chips out there. And some of them are, you know, they're upscale. They're a little artsy. They're a little greenwashed. And therefore, you look at them and you're like, this is all natural. I can eat a whole bag of these.
Yeah, and it turns out that a lot of people do. There's a 2011 study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it's all about weight gain. What they did is they looked at 120,877 men and women who were all professionals in the health field. So presumably these people would have a sort of a base knowledge of what is good for you and what's not. And using data back to 1986, the researchers monitored everything that they ate, as well as their physical activity and smoking. And what they found is that every 4 years, the participants exercised less, they watched TV more, and they gained an average of 3.35 pounds every 4 years. So the top contributors to weight gain included red meat, processed meats, sugar-sweetened beverages, and potatoes, including mashed and French fries. But the largest contributor was potato chips. Like that right there tells you how addictive these little crisps are.
Yeah, I mean, it's the cliche, right, that they almost enforce the idea that you just can't stop eating them once you open that bag. And there's a lot going on here, a lot more than I thought, because, you know, if you'd asked me previously, I would have said, all right, with the potato chip, obviously you're getting salty.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to get some oil. And then there's some marginal,
the fat.
And then there's some marginal vegetable content there as well. But there's a little more.
Yeah, you get the sugar that exists not as an additive, but in the actual starch of the potato itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that starch in turn causes the glucose levels in the blood to spike, and that can cause more of that craving in your brain for it. So the other thing about this is that there's a sort of physics to the potato chip that is very appealing. So you remember that $40,000 device that we talked about,
mm-hmm,
that chews and pre-masticates food? That device has also helped the industry to try to understand that people like a chip that snaps with about 4 pounds of pressure per square inch. And so you could say that there's definitely an art to it, a kind of physics to it. And Mary Roach actually talked about this in a New York Times article called The Marvels of the Mouth.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you... Well, I think we've talked about this before a bit. When you crunch into that chip, when it crunches in your mouth, we're getting a sense, the brain is getting a sense that we're eating something fresh. It's like celery.
Yeah.
The brain is saying, this is basically celery we're eating here, and therefore we should eat a lot of it because it's fresh, and it's not going to be fresh forever. Chow down.
Yeah. To get that kind of snap, that fracture, you need crack speeds of the chip of 300 meters per second. That's the speed of sound. And so Mary Roach describes it as the sonic boom inside of your mouth. And then Dr. Ton Van Vliet, who has been studying the crunching of chips for 7 years, had said that, as just as you say, that crispiness, that crunchiness appeals to us because it has that sort of freshness that our ancestors would have sought out in vegetables and fruit. So not only is the chip very appealing to us because of the sugar content and the salt and the fat, but because it's mimicking something that would have been important to us in our ancestral survival.
Yeah, and on top of that, and this was some material that you sent me earlier, The crinkliness of the bag into that. It's almost like a harbinger of the crispiness of the chip. You hear the bag crinkling and that makes you start thinking about the crunchiness of the chip. It's almost like you're reaching in with your caveman hands into some crisp, crunchy plant to grab your lunch.
Yeah. And that's what gets us to this idea of sound symbolism. And in 2004, Charles Spence, a neuroscientist at Oxford University, had subjects bite into, all told, about 180 potato chips. And what he did is he manipulated that bite or crunch sound with directional microphones and found that when researchers amplified the crunching sounds, that the subjects rated the chips as crispier. But when he muffled their crunchy noises, they scored the chip as less crisp. So it is really the full experience that you're bringing to the food. And that's that sound symbolism of, oh, this is fresh. It's good.
Yeah, the chip that is so crunchy that you have to turn up the television set while you're watching it because the sound is deafening inside your own skull. So think of all that the next time you open a bag of potato chips, because this is an item that has been gamed, that has been manipulated to get the maximum response out of you, the user.
Yeah, Frito-Lay, $30 million in that 1 year to try to create the perfect chip for you to return to over and over again. And for the most part, you think, oh, well, this isn't a big deal. I mean, a lot of this is just, you know, willpower. But we've talked about this before. We've talked about how these pathways are created in the brain. It's very hard to kind of get over these types of addictions. So, you know, it takes a little bit more than just knowing that it's bad for you. And I wanted to bring up this example of microwave popcorn. Especially that old ye olde butter flavor.
Oh, yes.
That you see. It uses flavoring chemicals like diacetyl and pentadione, which are dissipated into the air by the heating process. Not something you want to breathe in, right? Well, a guy named Wayne Watson was awarded $7 million when he sued the manufacturer and retailers of microwave buttered popcorn that caused him to develop something called popcorn lung.
Oh.
After he ate 2 bags daily for 10 years. So you could argue that it's not even just an obesity issue sometimes. It's some of the chemicals that are affecting us in adverse ways.
And clearly here, it's the artificiality of our food, you know? I mean, this is not a matter of saying, oh, all that butter on the popcorn was bad for you. This is a matter of the butter flavoring. There's a careful chemical concoction had this dire effect on him.
Which brings us to this analogy of cigarettes, which isn't a perfect analogy. But if you consider that cigarette manufacturers have been known, particularly, I think it was in the 80s that this came to light, that for a number of years, they were amping up some of the addictive chemicals in the cigarettes to further addict their customers. Could you say the same of junk food?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, your starting point is a little less evil, but you're still ramping it up. You're still trying to make it more addictive and opening yourself to situations where someone ends up eating your product exclusively and then paying the price for it.
So about 15 years ago, Vice President of Kraft, Michael Mudd, he went to an industry meeting, processed food industry meeting, and the meeting was meant to talk about the rising obesity and the manufactured foods that they were creating. And he was hoping that all the members of these various companies would be open to this idea of regulating their foods. Unfortunately, that did not happen at that meeting. But I thought it was striking because 15 years ago, he presented this whole idea of what they were doing and how it was affecting people. And he included the following quote in this presentation from Yale University professor of psychology and public health, Kelly Brownell, which is, quote, "As a culture, we've become upset by the tobacco companies advertising to children, but we sit idly by while the food companies do the very same thing. And we could make a claim that the toll taken on the public health by a poor diet rivals that taken by tobacco." 15 years ago, before we really even saw this huge expansion of obesity statistics that we have today. It's a little startling.
It is. So tell me this.
Yes.
This evening, after my son goes to bed, I am going over to a friend's house to play board games. Okay. And said friend, let's call him Greg, is going to inevitably have two bags on the table. One is going to be normal Twizzlers, and one is going to be this other variant of Twizzler that includes...
The blue ones?
No. It's rainbows. Yeah. And each one has like a creamy filling.
Mm. Oh.
So what am I to do? How am I going to resist having that first Twizzler and then the subsequent 30 Twizzlers?
You know, honestly, I think that you eat pretty healthy, right?
Yeah.
It seems to me. I feel like that's not a huge risk for you. What I see is that the problem is that fast food, junk food is so inexpensive and easy now for manufacturers to produce that a lot of people are going to this as their main sustenance.
It's true.
So if you were like, man, I'm hitting up the KFC again today, can I pick you up something? And this was happening all the time, then I might be like, Robert, dude, remember the acrylamide? But, you know, I really think that's the problem. And that is also the problem for people who are, in lower income brackets, is that it's a lot easier and convenient to go to these foods instead of fresh foods, which are more expensive.
And of course, availability also plays into that. The whole idea of having food deserts where an individual does not have access to those healthier foods, even if they are a little bit more expensive than the unhealthy options.
Yeah. And you're talking about food deserts in that there have been plenty of studies that will show you that in lower income areas, there are not grocery stores as readily available. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you know, you could hit up that KFC or that McDonald's a lot easier than you could to travel the 10 to 20 miles to find a grocery store.
Exactly. All right. So there you have it. Junk food, a little more insight into why we love it, why we cannot resist it, what it's doing to us, how it's gaming us, and of course about the dark masters of dark food that engineer it to dominate us. I know that everyone has some comments to make on this, so we'd love to hear from you. What fast food item holds the most influence over you? What fast food items have you managed to defeat? Fast food or junk food? I'm kind of using the two words interchangeably for some reason, but let us know. Share your stories, share your tips, share your alternatives, and because we would love to hear from you, and we'd love to share some of your content on the show.
Yeah, I'd also like to know if commercials affect you. I was thinking about this, that I think there was one of the Kardashians did a Roy Jr. burger ad campaign. I don't know if I've got that chain right, but I think it was like, you know, skimpy bathing suit with the burger with like the sweaty bacon falling out of it. And like the glistening orbs of her breasts. And I thought, God, if there's nothing more supernormal stimuli than that.
Yeah. I mean, that actually ties in directly with a study I was looking at recently that I blogged about. And I have a video coming out about the idea of, what did they call it? It's not the bikini effect. But it's something that to that effect. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that if a male, in this case, a heterosexual male, looks at a picture of a model in a bikini, sees a woman in a bikini, or even just handles a bra, their willpower lessens. Like it makes the primal male, you know, want to mate, to give into this impulse. But that impulse will then manifest itself in the form of, say, buying some junk food that they know they don't need, eating some junk food in the office place, or ordering something off of Amazon that they normally would have the willpower to resist.
Now, that's not surprising to me if I especially think about it in the context of the bread example and the altruism. Mm-hmm. You know, something that simple, changing your behavior and tapping into that pleasure circuitry. So, very interesting. Let us know your thoughts on that. We definitely want to hear it. And you can find us at the Mothership.
Yes, stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's where you'll find all the podcast episodes, all the videos, all the blog posts, links out to our social media accounts, such as Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Google+, our YouTube page, which is Mind Stuff Show. Go there, subscribe to us, follow us, and you'll stay up to date on all the cool video projects that we have coming out now and are pumping out in the future.
And you can send us an email if you'd like at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.